Good morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes a bad symbol just has to be buried. Sometimes something that makes one feel uncomfortable or threatened or sad in some way just has to be put away. Years ago, it was said that Coach Bill Belichick, once after a horrific game, had all of his players at practice at the next opportunity. And he lifted up the last game ball and he showed it to everybody as a reminder of how pitiful their effort was on the Sunday before. And as they were all gathered around, offense and defense and special teams, they heard this distant beeping. Beep, beep, beep. It was this massive bulldozer that was coming into the practice field slowly, slowly, slowly. And then the big claw from the backhoe crashed into the ground. Beautiful grass, as you can imagine, that an NFL team would practice on. And it took a big chunk out of the grass, and it moved it to the side. And then another big claw of earth moved it to the side until there was this big, massive hole. And he took that football, and he threw it in the ground. And then they covered it back up again. So what he was telling his team was, that day is over. The symbol of that horrific game, that's buried deep in the earth. And now we're going to run and we're going to tackle and we're going to do our jobs on top of this ball that needs to be buried and needs to be gone out of our lives. The cross, to many in the world, is a similar symbol. They feel that it has to be just put away. Has to be taken down. It has to be broken apart. Big bulldozer has to come and make a big hole in the earth and put it in there. So the world doesn't have to see this symbol anymore. Two Wednesdays ago, following the beautiful service of the pre-sanctified liturgy, we gathered in our fellowship hall. And Charles Beck spoke to us, and some of you have heard this talk before, and having heard it twice now, two of the most painful experiences I've ever had. From a medical perspective, what takes place to the body in preparation for and during the crucifixion of an individual, specifically Jesus, because there are varying degrees of punishments and tortures before one is hung upon the cross. And none of these devices were spared Jesus Christ. As we read in the Gospels, and as we heard from an anatomical perspective, what took place with Jesus Christ? From the time he was starved, from the time he was thirsty, dehydrated, scourged repeatedly, carrying as far as he could a 120-pound crossbar to the place of his crucifixion, where his hands and his feet would be bound, nailed, and hung upon that cross until his spirit yielded. This, at the time, was the most notorious symbol that those who would have been subject to the use of the cross upon them would want that torn down, buried, and disappeared from the earth forever. We know that the cross was a symbol not just of one's torture and execution, but of great fear. You didn't want to be the one hanging naked in that situation, dying a slow and horrific death, for all the world to see, and for all the world to think, that will not and that cannot be me. I will do everything in my power to not have that great power place me in that situation. A symbol that should be gone. And then in our own Christian life, a symbol that has been abused, a symbol that has been hijacked for the sake of persecution of others. It is written that in the Fourth Crusade, when they ransacked the city of Constantinople, a nobleman had written that roving barbarians are more generous and more Christ-like than those who bear his cross upon their chest and upon their shoulders. The crusaders, the inquisitors, others who have waged war against those unjustly, bearing a cross, have a cross waiting for themselves. Again, in our Christian life, a symbol that ought to be buried. And even today, sometimes we see, or the world sees, the cross as a symbol of hate, of injustice, of intolerance. A symbol that needs to be put away. But my dearly, dearly beloved in the Lord, on this day, this third Sunday of Great Lent, we come together and gather in this temple to worship our Lord and to venerate and to love and to be in awe of that symbol. And not to bury it, not to smash it, not to put it away, but to lift it high and to gaze upon it with the same measure of love that Jesus Christ has. As he continues to contemplate his love for humanity in his obedience to the will of the salvific plan of the Father by allowing himself to be placed upon this horrific device. A horrific device of pain and violence and humiliation. But through him, and through his obedience, and through his sacrificial love for every single one of us, that cross is transformed. That cross no longer is a symbol of death, but a symbol, the symbol, I should say, of victory. The symbol of everlasting life. The symbol that is closely attached to Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he ascended that cross for no other reason than to save us from eternal damnation, from separation from God, and from a death that does not end, and a darkness that never brightens, and a coldness that never warms, and a distance that is never brought close, and a chasm that is never bridged, until God ascended that cross. And there is nothing that pours forth from it more powerfully, not even his blood, not even the water that poured from him. Nothing pours forth more abundantly than his love for each and every one of us. We are this much closer to commemorating as a church, as people, his passion. And the church puts before us, before we arrive at that day, this image, halfway through the process. As you hear me say every year, I will say again, because it makes sense to hear it over and over again. This is that halfway mark. If our fasting and our ascetic Lenten efforts and our prayer life and our generosity are not quite up to snuff, we know we've been skating along. We know we haven't tried as hard as we could and benefited as much as we could. The cross is before us to be reminded of why we struggle. And no matter what struggle we have in these days, they're not comparable at all to the struggle he had for our sake on that cross. So it's lifted as a sign to encourage us to participate in any measure of a stronger effort for our behalf and to His glory. And if we have been suffering in these days righteously, not glumly, but if it's been difficult, if we've entered into a Lenten responsibility that has been hard and we've been challenged and we've been tempted along the way, also encouragement stands the cross to propel us across that finish line, to be drawn to it, to understand why we're doing what we're doing. The cross of Christ is not to be removed, it's not to be smashed, it's not to be buried. Billions in the world will say that that is what should happen. But for those who understand, for those who feel the warmth, for us who worship not the wood of the cross, but God who ascended it for the sake of our salvation, as St. John of Damascus reminds us, we know that it's to be lifted up, it's to be seen, and it's to be loved. For if anything, it is the source of love from God. Amen.